This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Well, lots of things can make you stressed, and right now it is COVID time. I'm home trying to do this recording, and as you can hear in the background, my neighbors have decided today's the day they're going to be doing some jackhammering. So I apologize for the background noise. I know my producer Mark is going to do his darndest to make sure that noise is kept to a minimum. So, all right, guys, here we go. So other times of stress that I vividly remember was when I was in veterinary school, and it was a particularly hard time that I was having with classes. I was studying like crazy. My diet was crunchy Cheetos and Diet Coke. Sleep was a luxury I couldn't afford, and I had a horribly itchy rash everywhere. I went to the school's infirmary and was surprised with the diagnosis. My rash was due to stress, and I'll probably have a rash after I finish this recording. So, go figure. I passed my classes, got good grades, got some sleep, and the rash miraculously disappeared. My guest today is Dr. Nora Grant. She's a veterinary services manager for Seva Animal Health, and we're going to discuss how stress can make your pet's skin crawl, just like mine did back in school. Go figure. We'll be right back after this short break.
Do you want a cat litter that absorbs odor-causing wetness like a parched desert cactus? Well, Arm & Hammer's got a litter for you. New Absorbix with desert dry minerals. Wetness disappears like a Texas raindrop on a hot tin roof. Odors? Adios. It's lightweight, lightning-fast, odor-absorbing desert dry cat litter. Get $4 off now at armandhammer.com/bounty. New Absorbix from Arm & Hammer. More power to you.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Dr. Grant, thanks for hanging in there with me in these stressful times.
Oh, you're very welcome. I appreciate you having me on the show today. Thank you.
So why is it important? And number one, people go, stress and our pets? I mean, they have a pretty cushy life, most of them. You know, we take care of them. They're in the house. They have their food taken care of. We brush them. We walk them. We do whatever else. They have good veterinary care. And so what makes a pet stressed?
So that's a good question, because we do think that they've got a pretty cushy life compared to having to hunt and fend for themselves in the wild. But as humans, we unfortunately have added stresses to our pets that we may not recognize. They've got very acute visual capabilities, and so we sometimes put them in situations that can stress their senses, but also things that we don't think about. Overcrowding. A lot of us that love our pets think having a few more is a great opportunity, particularly when we add cats. So having a large group of cats together, which in the wild would not be their normal way of living, they would have worked out their areas. We put them in a small area that can certainly stress cats. So multi-cat households, whether we know it or not, can add stress. We also, you know, we take our pets with us everywhere. So we don't realize sometimes the car ride, the going to a restaurant, going out, listening to a rock concert, all of those kinds of things can be stress. And then right now with COVID, it's really important to recognize that because we are home with our pets more, and that might be just fine with them right now, as we do start to go back into the workforce, we anticipate we're going to see a lot of pets with separation anxiety, which is, you may not see it because you go back to work, but the pet during the day is pacing around the house, standing at the front door, whining, crying. And that behavior can even lead to them chewing up things in the house and being destructive.
Some and chewing number on one themselves reason, too, huh?
Oh, yeah, and chewing on themselves. So we'll get to that part. But I was going to say, this is actually behavior and both dermatitis type cases are some of the top cases of why animals are relinquished to shelters. So we want to keep our pets in our homes.
Yeah, I mean, I did a little bit of research on this because I sadly did not really realize this relationship of itchiness and, yes, behavioral issues, but stress, and found that in some of the earliest days of psychoanalysis, skin conditions were regarded as a sign of psychological distress. So why is it important to recognize this stress and anxiety in our pets?
Well, certainly, like I was mentioning, it's the number one reason why our pets are relinquished to shelters. And in veterinary situations, we lose clients from our practices so that they, if you don't get a resolved issue, you go down to another veterinarian down the road. So you're hopping from vet to vet sometimes with that. But we also know that any chronic disease or illness will result in some type of stress in our pet. If you think about it, it's true with humans too. You know, if there's a diagnosis of cancer, if there's a diagnosis of, like you said, skin conditions, you're somewhat stressed by that behavior, that how you feel about it. And animals have that same stress with chronic illness. Recognizing it in the home, again, can help with these behavior problems of pets that are actually being destructive.
You mentioned, yes, them being destructive, chewing on things. So that's something that a dog would do. If you could break it down as to some of the common signs that you're going to see, say, cats, dogs, horses, and then maybe each of the different species you feel comfortable chatting about. Because I know, yes, you know, cats can start urinating outside of the box if they get stressed, or they can get into cat fights with each other, or over-grooming and having hairballs. What are some of the other things that you see?
Exactly. So that's exactly it. Often the cats are urinating outside the litter box. There's passive-aggressive behavior, as you mentioned, with cats that stalk each other we might not even recognize in the household. They just don't get along, and sometimes we just put up with that. But actually, when they get to the point that they do a lot of self-grooming, so obsessive behaviors in a sense of chronically licking and grooming themselves can be one outlet for their stress, and a lot of hair loss. And it's interesting, you mentioned your own situation with human stress and dermatological condition. In our animals, we recognize that too, that we have some chronic lick conditions that can lead to wounds, open wounds on the leg. It's called a acral lick dermatitis, but it's also called a lick granuloma in dogs. In cats, they'll often groom their abdomen. There'll be hair loss. The body itself reacts. Stress and the brain and the skin are connected, so that the hair actually can go into a resting phase and fall out more easily. So you'll see hair loss excessively. And in humans, there's also a psychosomatic type condition in which the human has depression for one reason or another and then pulls their hair out as a result of that behavior. That's called trichotillomania. So we know it happens in people. You experienced it in vet school. We probably had all kinds of other things with anxiety from vet school too that were related to medical conditions. But in the animal, you may see it more as a hair loss, chronic licking, grooming behavior, that type thing, besides the ones you mentioned.
One thing that's really interesting in cats sometimes is that I can't remember how many times I've had a cat in an exam room. They're complaining about one issue or the other, and I take a look at the tummy. It's like, oh, how long has your cat been bald on its abdomen? It's like, really?
Exactly.
I never saw that. Because as they're walking along or they're, you know, crunched up in their little kitty balls as they're sleeping, many times people don't see the abdomen and realize, cats or dogs, what's going on there. But yes, how stress can weaken the immune system. Vomiting, diarrhea, I've seen that, especially with dogs that are boarding, when they're coming in for a boarding situation. They seem to have flare-ups of their chronic diseases. I saw that there was a 2019 study that was published in the National Center for Biotechnology Information about dogs, and that they're eating poop, and they're begging for food, and they're trying to get extra attention, and also their decreased trainability. I thought that was interesting.
That's true, because if you're stressed, you're not going to take time to learn. And so if we can reduce stress in the household and help that pet, they will behave better. You can train them better. That may be true when they go to obedience classes. And I think, you know, there's some things that we can use to help with that in the household. And also we are recognizing that in the veterinary clinic, the whole idea of fear-free as a change in how we want to have animals behave in our veterinary clinics is to reduce that fear, anxiety, and stress. And so the first thing is recognizing the body language. and recognizing how they're behaving. You know, are they pacing? Are they panting? Are they trying to pull away from us? Are they trying to cower? Is their center of gravity is not over there, all 4 feet? They're not happy. They don't have their mouth open. You know, there's a lot of signs that you can look for that we're learning to recognize in our patients. And owners can recognize that at home, too. And then I recommend you consult with your veterinarian on that. Bring it to their attention that the animal may seem to be stressed at home because it is linked to medical conditions.
And talking about other species, you know, birds will all of a sudden start picking their chest bare of all their feathers. Horses can chew on their flanks and cause horrible injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just cats and dogs. You had mentioned one of the very sad parts about having these stress issues with pets, that it can impact the human-animal bond. So they get relinquished. What other things can happen there?
So that's interesting because particularly the relationship between stress and the skin conditions, if they're developing skin conditions and we haven't addressed some of the root causes like stress, that actually can cause the animal to not, people don't want to be around the animal if they're losing hair and they've got lesions on their skin. So if there's sores or scabs, often there's an odor with that condition, and it could be simply a bacterial or fungal infection that's maybe not stress related, but that skin condition can cause problems in the household. You don't want to sleep with your pet anymore. They become isolated. You keep them in another room or shoo them away. That's destructive to the human-animal bond. And certainly when an animal is pacing or is destroying things in the household, that's destroying the human-animal bond. We want our pets to be with us. We want them to be happy and have that mutual comfort benefit. There's also a fear sometimes that these skin conditions could be a what we call a zoonotic issue, which means it can be contagious to us as humans. So there's a couple that are, and we do need to have those checked out by our veterinarian. So the best thing to do is if you do have skin lesions on your pet, and you think there may be stress in the household, bring that to the attention of your veterinarian and explain what's going on. Let them check it out to see if it's truly a medical condition. And if not, then talk about ways that you can help reduce that stress.
So it almost seems like chicken and the egg situation sometimes. What came first, the skin issue or the stress issue? Is it kind of six of one and a half dozen of the other?
Well, it is. It's kind of hard to tell because, and you said in early psychology that they may have had a leg up on us in recognizing skin conditions as being, you know, stress related, but trying to figure out which one caused it because there is a link in the brain. I mean, there is actually stimulation from skin receptors to the brain. There's stress on the brain itself through the limbic system. You know, all of this is related to our endocrine system and pituitary glands, secretion of hormones, things like that. But they've actually studied skin conditions. And it was kind of interesting that they did a mouse study that looked at developing lesions on mice like an atopic dermatitis or an eczema case. And they created the lesions in one group of mice and they created the lesions in another group of mice. And then they exposed group one mice to a sound that was random sounds like one of those bait traps that emits sound. And then they didn't expose the other group to that. Then later they looked at the skin lesions and the mice that had been exposed to the stress of the sound had worsening of their lesions than the mice in the control group. So you can actually induce skin changes with stress. And it's a very interesting relationship. In human medicine, they've created a field called phycodermatology. And we're looking at this in veterinary medicine. There's a veterinarian, Dr. Libre at North Carolina State, has been doing a whole lot of research into the neurobiology of itch and the relationship between the brain and the itch. So stay tuned. There's more research to come and more fun information.
Well, that's a really good segue for staying tuned. So I'm speaking right now with Dr. Nora Grant, one of the veterinarians at SIVA Animal Health. And we're going to take a short break so we can let them jackhammer a little bit more, make some more noise, get it out of their systems. And we're going to be right back with what we can do about it.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Looking for a dental treat that does more for your dog? Daily Dose is a 2-in-1 chew that pairs a daily dental scrub with powerful supplements to help with the biggest health concerns facing our dogs. Daily Dose was developed by vets to be simple to use and super effective. Plus, dogs love the taste. Available for joint, skin, heart health, or calming. Daily Dose. your pet's daily dose of awesome. Visit yourpetsdailydose.com to save $3 on your first bag with promo code PETLIFE. That's yourpetsdailydose.com.
Porkchop, his coat is very thick. He's an Akita, German Shepherd, Lab, Husky mix. Harold, the Border Collie Pit mix, has the most beautiful jet black coat. Stuart, my rat terrier, has fur now where he never had it before.
DINOVITE.com.
Dynavite will give them a beautiful, lustrous coat. It will make you smile.
You get some Dynavite, how happy your dog will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Grant, thanks for hanging in there with me. So, with all of this itch and stress that's going on, what can we do to help reduce the stress? So, what can a pet owner do at home?
So that's a very good question. There are some things you can start with. If you recognize that your animals are in a stressful situation, helping to reduce that anxiety, there's a number of things. I do always recommend a consult with your veterinarian, and if your veterinarian thinks it's necessary, then a further consult with a veterinary behaviorist would be something to look into for some ongoing chronic behavior problems. But just in the household, there are a lot of things that the owner can do. Certainly enrichment in the environment. And pets that, depending on the breed of the dog, you know, maybe a high-strung dog that needs a lot of activity and really was bred to chase cows and chase horses and herd them or hunt or whatever, they don't do well in confined environments. And that a high anxiety can lead to them acting out. So if you've got a higher-strung breed of dog that needs that type of activity, then lots of long walks, you know, teaching them to play fetch and ball and frisbee and everything like that, can help work out that anxiety of needing to do something else as an activity. Food puzzles. I always recommend food puzzles. You can go online and get access to a lot of those. You can even make some homemade ones, taking a little paper towel roll or a toilet paper roll and stuff it full of dog treats and then, or dog food, just dog food, and then actually close up the ends. Just fold up the ends, and that makes a nice little fun puzzle for the dog, and they can't hurt anything with that. They can chew on it.
And those are great things to hide around the house, too.
Exactly. So even with your elderly pet, you can hide something that's a very strong-smelling type of treat and have them kind of work to find it, which can help keep the brain enriched in an older dog. With cats, certainly lots of toys and puzzles and things that they can chase, and they do make food puzzles for cats, too, so I do recommend that. If it's a multi-cat household situation, then there can be some other help in terms of pheromones, which we can use in any situation with anxiety. Feva does produce the Feelaway and Adaptyl pheromones, which can be used safely in a household for reducing and calming that level of anxiety. These are naturally occurring pheromones given off by the pet that we've made synthetic copies of. And so
I really would like you to
Multicat.
Talk more about those pheromones because they're fascinating. People I know many times will get them and they plug them in going, I don't smell anything. This isn't working. It's not supposed to work on people, is it?
It's not supposed to work on people. We actually have our own pheromones and we just aren't aware that we're picking those up from people. But all animals give off some type of a semiochemical that is species specific. So that means a dog only picks up the dog pheromone, the cat only picks up the cat pheromone. You can put those diffusers in the same room together. You can have both sprayed on, you know, your clothing if that's something you want to do for your pet. They come in a spray form. They come in a diffuser form. And then for the cat, there's actually wipes that can be used to wipe the cat carrier and surfaces. So you don't wipe the cat. You wipe the surfaces that the cat's going to be around. And the wipes will last maybe about 1 to 2 hours. The sprays last about 4 to 5, 6 hours. And then the dog actually has a collar, too, that can go with the dog. It's great for puppy socialization. They should have a collar on during that entire time period. And it's constantly emitting a pheromone that they pick up and you don't smell. The sprays and have an actual odor when you initially spray it because it's an alcohol base. But that alcohol goes away. And then after that, about 5 or 10 minutes, so spray it on a towel or bandana and then let the alcohol dissipate and then come back and put the bandana on the dog or put the cat in the cat carrier on the towel or cover the cat carrier with the towel. There's a number of ways you can look into using that. I recommend you can go to SivaConnect.com for more information on the pheromones. And FearFreePets.com is another website that has a lot of information on things that can be done at home, called section called Happy Homes. So FearFreePets.com or SivaConnect.com will kind of get you to some more information on the products and things that you can do in the household.
And pheromones are fabulous. I always tell people, you know, there's going to be a range. So you and I are a little bit stressed and maybe we just need some chamomile tea and some, you know, meditation, or you may need Xanax. So our pets can be the same way. They may need something that is very natural. It's not going to hurt them in any way. They may need something more. So you can always start with that. And I think it is a great way to do it. And I love the thing that you mentioned, fear-free, and especially for cats. My own cats, I hate to say, when they see their carriers, they're not pleased. So I do have some of the feel away, and I will spray it in there, and I will do it and keep them out for a couple of days, spray it and put it in there. They go, ooh, this is kind of neat. And then I put them in there, and it's like, oh, not so much, but all right, it could be a lot worse. There are other things that can be done for pets with skin issues. And oftentimes people love to blame it on food. And yes, we know that pets can have food sensitivities. But being a veterinarian, I'd love to have you address what are some of the other common things that are done for skin issues.
So we're in a great time right now with dermatology because there's a lot of great products out there that can be used to help our pets. You know, consulting with your veterinarian is the first thing, and get them to diagnose what is this issue. Because it could, like I said before, be just a simple bacterial or fungal infection, yeast infection. They can treat that with topical medication, and then that can be resolved. But dogs and cats can get allergies that are much more chronic. And again, food can be a part of that. So the veterinarian may recommend a food trial. And then that may help with some of the lesions. If it's not that, then further diagnostics need to be done with possibly the veterinarian you're using or with a referral to a veterinary dermatologist. The nice thing is there's medications out there now that can help reduce the itch. There's topical medications for that, which SIVA makes a whole line of products for dermatology for pets, depending on the skin condition. And there's also some just anti-itch type products. There's also medication that's anti-itch. It may not solve the actual allergy, but it may address the itch. And then there's, you know, some animals, when you're talking about this relationship between stress, anxiety, and the skin, some animals may actually need some what we call anti-anxiety drugs. So you mentioned some that people take. There's actually some that animals can take too. And that would be under the care of your veterinarian or your dermatologist for your pet. But sometimes it could be, you know, a combination of these. So we talk about, again, a multimodal approach. If it's something that's a chronic allergy, that may involve some allergy testing for the pet to find out what it's actually reacting to, and can we resolve this with forms of immunotherapy, just like we do with people. So start first, like you said, with, is it just anxiety? Can we use some pheromones? Maybe that helps resolve it in the home. If it's not that, consult your veterinarian, and then they can take it step by step from there.
Dr. Grant, you had mentioned topicals and shampoos, and I get no compensation from SIVA, but one of the shampoos that I love to use, because I really tried, as you mentioned, doing multimodal, really working from the outside as well as the inside when I need to. And sometimes all we need to do is work on the outside. So shampoos, a shampoo, and oftentimes people go, oh, you're a doctor, you want me to go ahead and shampoo my pet every 7 days? You know, that's going to dry it out. I mean, yes, if you were going to be going to your pet store and just getting a shampoo off the shelf, those shampoos can be drying. Some of the flea shampoos notoriously have been very drying to the skin, which causes more issues. But I know SIVA carries one, Duoxo. And I love it because I tell people it is not a shampoo. It's a topical treatment that works so differently. Would you feel comfortable talking about the Duoxo line a little bit and how it's different?
Yes. So thank you for bringing that up. I mentioned earlier, we do have a line of products that are designed specifically for skin conditions. And the top of the line there is going to be your Duxo products. They are designed with a lot of information from our human counterparts in terms of working directly on the skin barrier. And this is actually designed by veterinary dermatologists also, this line. So we're working to try to repair the actual skin barrier, top layer of the skin on the outside. And that product specifically will help keep allergens from coming in through the skin or keep bacteria and yeast from coming in. And again, if there's already a bacterial infection, you may need the one that addresses that because we have a specific product, chlorhexidine-based product for that. We have seborrhea products. We have allergy products. And the interesting thing about bathing you mentioned, can you do that every 7 days? Most pet owners don't relish the idea of giving their pet a bath. And I am one of those, having had a large long-haired dog who shed everywhere when we gave a bath. It took an hour to clean up the bathroom after the bath. And I really only bathed him once a year when I had to. He rolled in something and, you know, there was an odor. But when you're having to deal with chronic skin conditions, the recommendation to bathe frequently is really one of the struggles I think pet owners have. So this line of Duxo products also has a mousse, which if you've ever used a mousse in your hair, you know that you just spray it in your hand, you know, rub it through your hair and leave it. This is a actual leave-on product. So it may be important to bathe the pet initially just to get the debris off the skin and kind of prep the skin in a sense. Maybe your veterinarian can do that for you with the Medicaid product and then send you home with a mousse that you can use at home that is something you can apply with your hands and the pets think they're getting a massage. I mean, when you do this, most of the time, cats maybe not so much, but cats will tolerate the mousse much better than they ever will putting them in a bathtub. So it's a nice product for cats. It's a fabulous product for your dog and they tend to like that contact of you rubbing something and massaging something into their hair coat. And then you just leave it and you can use it every 2 or 3 days as you need to, once a week as you need to, basically at the instruction of your veterinarian. There's also some tips for bathing dogs. So we've made it stressful for dogs in a sense by throwing them into a bathtub that they don't feel comfortable in and then trying to use a maybe too hot of water on them and having a spray come down that they're all stressed with. So they don't know what's going on there. You can actually make a bath fun for the pet by just doing a treat. So you can take spray cheese or peanut butter and kind of smear it around the bathtub. And if you have a way, a ramp or something, the dog can get up into the bathtub easier. Lead them up into the bathtub with treats and then use a shower massage type approach. So think of making it a spa day for your pet. Have some nice treat, like if you went to the spa and they gave you wine. You know, have something that the dog would like in the bathtub and take their mind off of what you're doing. And then use a shower massage that's just a very cool water. Actually, body temperature of an animal is higher than ours. So they're already at 102. And putting hot water on a skin lesion or having a hot water applied to them is actually worse. So cool water and then just a gentle massage type, you know, coming out close to the skin. Work on the areas that have the skin lesions first, you know, put any kind of Medicaid shampoo on there first on those lesions and work upwards on the body from there. So don't start on the back, just start down on the feet and work upwards because that's typically where the lesions are. But make it fun for the pet and then it may not be as stressful to do a periodic bath for the pet.
I think those are great ideas. I definitely use a lot of peanut butter in my own practice, so I'll smear it on the walls. My technicians hate it because they have to clean that mess up afterwards. I've tried to do it too. But, you know, with a puppy giving it vaccines, you smear the peanut butter everywhere, you know, try various treats, the things that cling to walls. And then especially because they lose their footing sometimes if you get those shower mats so they can just stand on it and not lose their footing, that really helps too. Love those ideas. And make sure the shampoo, follow the directions, ask your veterinarian. Things like the Duoxo shampoos that you carry, where it actually needs to have contact time. You just don't put it on and rinse it off. I tell people you're wasting your time and money if you do that. So great ideas.
Mm-hmm. And so I have a tip for you because there's actually a peanut butter dispenser that you can find online that sticks to the bathtub. Or there's these little things called aqua paws that are little sticky mats that you can stick on the wall of the tub. And then you can put your spray cheese or your peanut butter in there and your techs don't have to clean up the bathtub.
Oh, but I like being mean to them. Great idea. I think I'll go look online and go find some today. So we've been listening right now and chatting with Dr. Nora Grant. She is one of the veterinarians at SIVA Animal Health. Some great ideas of how to decrease stress, how to decrease skin issues. Dr. Nora, any words of wisdom, parting words of wisdom as the jackhammers have stopped momentarily?
Thank you very much, first of all, for having me on today. And I would direct your audience's attention to first consult with their veterinarian on the skin conditions and make them aware of the stress. Help them help you, basically. Secondly, websites, you know, we all like to, like, where can I go for more information? So I mentioned before, SIVAConnect.com. There's some information about the pheromone products there. And then I would direct them to the fearfreepets.com website, which has a wealth of information on how to help their pets at home. Preparation for the veterinary visit, how to get them in the car, how to address stress at different levels, how to make it a happy home environment. And again, if we reduce stress for everybody, the pets and the people, it's possible that some of these lesions might resolve on their own. But definitely keep your veterinarian in the loop on things.
Well, Dr. Nora Grant, Veterinary Services Manager for SIVA Animal Health, thank you so much for being with us today. I kind of got the itchies right now, probably because of the stress of those jackhammers, so I'm going to see what I can do for it. Thank you so much for being with us. Please tune in again next week, folks. We'll give you more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Thanks. Take care. Be safe.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.